All right, unless there's any objection, we're going to go right to the first public hearing, PCO 1-25, an ordinance amending the City of Warwick zoning ordinances, Tower Code 2013, LLC. Oh, no?
It's not working yet.
All right, well then, there is an objection. So we're going to start first with announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events then. Are there any announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Seeing none, well, we go to... All right, no executive communications report. Next, we have acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on January 27th, 2025. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? There we go. Next, we'll do announcement of appointments. First, we have Building Board of Appeals, Kenneth D. Jones and Thomas D. Leonardo. Next, we have Planning Board, Kevin M. Flynn, Justin G. Matthias, I apologize if I butchered it, and Philip C. Slocum. Are you online now? Yeah, next we'll do appointments requiring confirmation. First, we have Board of Canvassers, one Mr. Edward Murphy. This is for intergovernmental.
Yes, Mr. President, the committee voted favorable action.
So a motion, Councilman Gephardt?
Move favorable action.
Motion made for favorable action. Any questions or comments that weren't had in committee?
Second.
Oh, thank you, Councilman Lausser. So motion made and seconded. Any comments or questions not had in committee?
No.
Seeing none. Clerk can call the roll. Yes.
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 Next, we have Land Trust Commission.
Point of order.
Yep.
Mr. President, in the past, we have taken these as a consent calendar type deal. There are no. Okay, never mind. Forget that.
No worries. Next, we have Land Trust Commission, one Mr. Tyler Mycath. Again. Committee
recommend favorable action.
Second.
Motion. Well, Councilman Gephardt, motion.
Move favorable actions.
Second.
Motion made second. By Councilman Gephardt, seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Next, Land Trust Commission, Arlene Napa. This is held until February 24th. Next, again, Land Trust Commission, AJ Panday. Again, apologize if I'm butchering pronunciation. This is held until February 24th. Next, we have Municipal Court. The Honorable Kelly A. McElroy. This is intergovernmental.
Committee recommends favorable action.
Councilman Gephardt for a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Gephardt, seconded by Councilman Muto, Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Yes.
Mr.
Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes appointment passes.
Just for completeness, consent calendar, PCR 24-25, resolution relative to bids. This is finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
Councilman Lattiser for action.
Yes, hold on 1 second.
No worries.
We have item 2025-364, Sophos licensing support. Item number two, 2025-366, Life Pack 35. Item number three, 2025-006C, Quarterly Fire Alarm. Item 2025-341, Police Department.
And seconded by who on the move?
Second.
So Councilman Gebhardt, and I heard at least one other. Any questions or comments on the consent calendar? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes consent passes.
All right, next. Now we'll do PCO 1-25, ordinance amending the City of Warwick zoning ordinances, Tower Co. 2013 LLC and Selco Partnership DBA, Verizon Wireless, applicant 150 Draper Avenue, Assessors Plat 354, Lot 49. This is public properties.
Thank you, Council President. Yes. We had a motion to move to the floor for public hearing. Therefore, I'll move at this time, move to open the public hearing.
Motion made by Councilman Ricks to open up the public hearing, seconded by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? All right, so public hearing is now. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All against? Abstentions? All right.
Good evening. Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. Just make some opening statements prior to the applicant making their presentation, which is typical. As you recall, this tower was initiated by the administration. Its primary reason is to improve life safety, communication, cell service in this one part of the city. This is very similar to what happened up at Clegg Field when we lost that tower, which is now nearly complete with construction. Similar to that application, this tower will improve communications. This council had awarded the bid to Tower Co. And then it has since come before the planning board. You have that positive decision of approval. I think it was recorded in November 14th of 24. And I'm here to answer any questions that might come up. I know the applicant will make a presentation and I'll throw it back to the council.
All right, so first we'll hear from the applicant, then we'll hear from supporters, or anyone in support rather, then anyone against, then everybody else, and then we'll close the public hearing and we'll shift it to the council. So first, can we have the applicant, please?
Mr. President, council members, Mr. Solicitor, Madam Clerk, thank you for your time tonight. My name is Attorney David Dalbash, and I am the local counsel for Tower Co. We are requesting an amendment to the city zoning ordinance to change resident A10 to resident A10 with 611 telecommunication use. Specifically, we're seeking approval for the placement of a cell tower on the real estate owned and subleased, or will be subleased, by Warwick, located in the wooded area off of Draper Ave, number 150. This is coming out of an approval from the planning department back in November of 2024. We have a number of experts from Tower Co. and from their subs, including Jess Moreno over at Civil Engineering at Proterra, Igor Ivsuk at Background Structure Consulting, Kerry Fazliari at Tower Co., Martin Laban, who is an engineer at C-Squared, and Mr. James Valeriani, who is also counsel for Tower Co. And at this point, I'd be more than happy to hand it off to Mr. Valeriani now.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. And yeah, so Verizon Wireless has been pursuing this location for a number of years. Like many of the wireless carriers, they're now contracting out their tower development to tower companies across the country. And the tower companies assume all responsibility for getting these sites permitted and built and providing space on the tower for Verizon in exchange for rent. Now, we're paying the city of Warwick rent. Tower Co. shall be paying the city of Warwick rent. This site is ideal for various reasons. Quite frankly, it seems to be the only feasible site in the area. Verizon has approximately 20 sites in and around Warwick. We have, I think, 11 in Warwick. We have one at a fire station, one at the police and fire headquarters. And then, of course, Clegg Field, which is a rebuild. And now this location. And this site was walked by the planning office and school department reps. And they selected that stand of trees off of Draper Ave to provide as much coverage, as much screening of the tower as possible. It's a 135-foot monopole, which is a relatively low height in this day and age. You know, 10, 15 years ago, 200-foot towers were the norm. So the towers are coming down in height, but in as a result of that, because of the capacity issues and the dense population of Warwick, you know, more cell sites are required. So we're happy with this site. It's got some very good setbacks from the property lines. I mean, there's 380 feet from Draper Ave to the north, 775 feet to the east, 906 feet to the south, and 330 feet from Old Mill Brook. Now, we are outside the wetland area. We're outside the wetland buffer. We're outside the 100-year floodplain. We're partially within the 500-year floodplain. It's a 60-by-60 area. The tower foundation will go down, you know, 20 feet or so, but everything else is at grade on pads. There's overhead electric and telco throughout that area, as well as coming into the Draper Avenue School Department parcel. And so we're running overhead line over to the cell tower, then go underneath, put a transformer down, and then put in a bank of meters. And it'll accommodate up to four carriers. There are four carriers operating, I think, in this market. I think if you count Cox, if they're still operating, five. But Dish Wireless, T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon. It's an unmanned facility. Locked gate generator necessary for a power outage. That's an FCC requirement. And the generator would be fueled by propane. It would only run during a power outage of approximately 6 hours or more. Okay. And it would cycle maybe once or twice a month for maintenance purposes. But it's a type of generator about similar to a small truck engine. But given the significant distances to the abutters, I mean, the 200-foot notification resulted in 86 notices going out to surrounding property owners. And, you know, they're all, we believe, a very good distance away. We've done a visual study that has, we believe, results that show very low visibility for this site. Again, it's quite a distance away. There's no impact to municipal infrastructure, no water or sewer hookups or anything like that. And it gives Verizon the coverage it needs in that area. I mean, I think the local paper had an article about the difficulty with service in that area. And I know some people in Warwick who say the same. And, you know, this has been a long time in coming. So what's important to us is that we answer any questions you have. We make any presentation you need. We have a radio frequency engineer from C-Squared Systems, Martin Lavin. We have Jesse Moreno, the civil engineer for the project from ProTerra. We worked very closely with Tom and Sean Henry at planning on this, and they guided us through the planning process, and they made, I think, a recommendation for approval. So there's a similar zoning change application to Clegg Field. And that's about it. That's our overview. And City Council did approve the RFP award to us in July, and went to planning in October, and here we are for the zoning amendment. So we look forward to what we hope is a favorable vote. And if there are any questions, if there's any of our experts that you'd like to speak with, I think I'm happy to have them make a presentation. We have handouts as well, and I could hand those out right now. So, Mr. President, I guess it's at the pleasure of the council how you'd like us to proceed from here. Would you like those presentations done?
So any questions from members of the council for the applicant? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I would direct the question to the administration. So in broad strokes, this proposal is more or less similar to proposals for other cell phone towers on public land in Warwick?
Correct.
And it makes sense in general for Warwick to have these cell phone towers located on public land, as opposed to, for example, broadly speaking and hypothetically, public land tends to be better than private land due to some of the different complications, neighborhood concerns that it can cause for this type of tower to be put up on public, on private land, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And also, the city has an added benefit here of negotiating for the rent, right?
That's right.
So effectively, it's the cell phone tower, which generally speaking serves people who live in Warwick or are using cell phone services in or around Warwick. And the city is actually receiving money for that, and avoiding the problems of hypothetically a similar tower going up on private land where the setbacks might not be so great or other complications could arise, right?
That's right. But in addition to residents and just cell phone users, we learned through CLEG, when you involve all the other city departments, even like sewer and water departments benefit. The sewer has what they call a SCADA system, which is a wireless system, and that, you know, repeats and relays information with their sewer infrastructure. They can benefit from the tower too. So we made sure to get their input on CLEG, and we're doing the same with this tower.
That's fantastic. And similarly, you're satisfied with the terms that were negotiated as part of this rental?
Yeah. Yeah, Dan Geegan, before he retired, handled all of our cell tower negotiations and did research. RIAC had just recently renewed some, so we went to them to see what they're getting for their rates. And Dan was, he was able to get a lot of, all of them to come up. So we're happy with that.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you for everyone involved with this. I know that it's not a simple process at all. I know that, you know, there is the outreach to the community. There is negotiation involved. There's an extensive process here. So I'm certainly satisfied that all the parties did their due diligence from everything that I'm hearing. Thank you.
Do any other members of the council have any questions for the applicant? Seeing none, is there anyone here to speak in support of the project? Is there anyone here to speak in support of the project? Are you in support of the project, or are you waiting for me to say the next part?
I am a property owner that borders the proposed tower.
Are you here to speak up against or in favor?
I'm against.
All right, one moment then, please, sir. So seeing no one here to speak in support of the project, is there anyone here to speak against the project? And then just please state your name first on the microphone and then have at it.
Yes, my name is Everett Griffiths. My wife and I have owned the property along Warner Brook, which is closest to where the proposed tower is being constructed. It is a well-known fact that these towers emit electric magnetic sensitives that are harmful to the health of people and children. There is also a child fine on the organization that is within about 100 feet of where this tower is being constructed. I have flyers and information of proof through the Defenders News and Views that tell of people who have been harmed by these towers across the nation. People who have been within 900 feet of these towers in Idaho, New Jersey, Washington, have filed suit against companies like AT&T and Verizon for injuries that they have received. It is also known that these towers are a hazard to the environment, that birds and wildlife animals such as deer are affected by their being erected. This tower is inside a public forest that has many pine trees, which are also known to lose their pine cones due to the radiation. My wife and I, who have lived there for over 60 years, are firmly against having this tower constructed and erected there. Thank you.
Is there anyone else to speak in opposition to this proposed project? Is there anyone else to speak in opposition to this proposed project?
Hi, Council President. Are you going to have a third category? Okay,
sure.
I'll wait for that.
All right, seeing no one else in opposition here to speak, is there anyone else who wishes to comment on this project?
Hello, Council. Again, Michelle Comar. I was pleased with the additional information the applicant provided at the meeting regarding potential setbacks from Warner Brook or Bucky Brook, and they're outside of the 100-year floodplain. But there is a concern in our community overall about tree clearing. And this isn't shown on any of their plans. There's no tree line. There's no limit of disturbance. So we don't know how much of the property they're disturbing, how many trees they're taking down. I have a couple more questions, and you can ask the applicant all at once, maybe. So they're asking for some deviations from our zoning ordinance. One is the maximum height of the tower, which the applicant stated is 135 feet. What is the maximum by zoning? And why does this tower have to be higher? The other question is, the ordinance speaks to no other cell phone tower within 2 miles. And there's one being constructed, I remember it was before the council in Connecticut. I don't know if that's within 2 miles or not. And maybe we need to look at our ordinance, since the applicant stated we need more towers. Maybe that 2 miles should be closer, more lenient, so they can get enough service towers in the area. The other thing I was going to ask is specifically, because I live in Warwick and I get messages on my cell phone, I have Verizon service, that searching for Wi-Fi, that might go on for half a day, a day. And so I have to drive to another area to try to get Wi-Fi service on my phone. Sometimes my calls are dropped. I don't know what I've missed. Why those calls are dropped. So I'd like to ask Verizon if they have a master plan to
improve the service in Warwick. I can drive around the city. I can tell you the holes, the dead spots. I understand Warwick Neck has some telephone technology on poles that help improve the service. I hope that's available all over the city. It's needed where I live, which is a mile south of Patuxent Village. So I hope the applicant remember all my questions, or the planning director, your preference, Council President, to address these questions, concerns.
Dealer's choice, applicant.
I'd like to take one of them, because we did this with Clegg with tree clearing, is required the applicant to mark all the trees that would be removed prior to site work, and we had a pre-construction site meeting to figure that out. I just quickly kind of used a graphic on my computer. It's a 60-foot by 60-foot lease area, and just judging by the large canopies of the Pinus strobus there, there's only a handful of trees that have to come out for that particular area, but there might be more, obviously, to get to it. The other questions, really, I'd like to punt to the applicant.
Okay. Thank you, Director Kravitz. So I'd like to propose an amendment to the ordinance for zone change, that a condition of approval would be that the trees would be marked and reviewed by, I don't know who in the city, I'd like to see the land trust review it, actually, with the applicant. This was not a stipulation that I recall in the planning board approval. I'd like to see it in the council approval. And I guess the rest of the questions are coming from the applicant. Council Perez, thank you.
Yes. We did do a what's referred to as a NEPA study, a National Environmental Policy Act study, which we have to do due to our FCC licensing. It's required that we do a NEPA report for cell towers. And that contacts Rhode Island Historic, Fish and Wildlife, the tribal interests. And there was no adverse impact from that study that we had done. Yes, we will mark the trees there for the planning office to view before we start work, but we did find the area we are putting the tower does happen to have a good size cleared area. I would say about the size of this floor here that your rectangular table is in. And so we are going to use that location for the center of the tower to minimize tree removal. And on the RF emissions, that's, you know, that's been superseded by FCC regulations and under federal law. That's not something that can enter into the decision-making process. Oh, and on the height, yeah, we're 135 feet. I think we're 135 feet high. By the way, there's no marking or lighting required, no lights, no red and white paint. No red lights, no white lights because of proximity of TF Green, no lighting. But yeah, I think the height in the A10 zone residence might be 35 feet as typical for single family homes. But obviously the high height is necessary for the cell towers, and the ordinance does provide for higher heights with additional setbacks. And through this amendment process, we're able to achieve that higher height. And, you know, we're a little under 2 miles from Clegg Field, but we need this site. It's the right site, and cell towers are getting closer together. More like 1.5 miles at this point in time, but we do have a radio frequency engineer that can speak to anything else along the lines of radio frequency coverage, filling this gap, anything along those lines, if you'd like.
There's just one other question that didn't get answered about what is, maybe I didn't explain it clearly, what is the area around the cell tower that we expect to have improved Wi-Fi, computer, and cell phone service?
The area, well, I mean, we're seeking if the towers are approximately 2 miles apart, this site should cover approximately you know, mile and a half, there is some overlap between the towers, and whichever tower has the best signal in a particular area will pick up the cell phone call. So any wireless device that is subscribed from Verizon Wireless or one of the other major wireless carriers will see improvement if they're operated on those wireless carriers' frequency bands.
Those are, I thank you for the answers. I think going forward, when the city council has a open bid for use of public land, and it's a project like this, because I think people showed up with more concerns at the planning board meeting. I didn't attend, but I heard that. I think to put feelers out first, if this is something that's going to be accepted by the community or not, before we get to the stage where we're this far and then before city council. And I'm not just talking about the people within the radius map, but in general. And I think these cell phone companies should do more master planning, because there is a cell tower in Connecticut, kind of slow in getting that constructed and operational. But to work with the city and find out where the dead zones are and be proactive in identifying locations. They might not all be public lands, but I think that would be something worthwhile for better communication, emergency services as well in our city. I thank you.
If I may address one or two points quickly. There was notice given to all the surrounding area residences at the time when those planning board meetings were out. As Mr. Vallinari had pointed out, there was a recent article in the paper about the dead zone or hell zone. This is one of the reasons why this tower is going where it needs to go. We are trying to accommodate a number of people that's in an area in which cell phones are not being serviced properly because of the coverage is not there. The cell phone is the most pervasive unit of accepting internet connection, one of the most important aspects about life in 2025. We're trying to help the situation. I understand there's concerns, but the concerns about the frequency and whatnot have been addressed by cell phones for more than 30 years. At this point, I would ask the council to give us a favorable approval on this. Thank you.
Is anyone else here to speak? Neither in support nor opposition, basically that third category.
I'm listening to this gentleman here.
Sir, you have to identify yourself.
I'm sorry?
You have to identify yourself. The sonographer is typing up what you're saying, but she doesn't know who you are. You have to state who you are.
Yeah, I was speaking previous. I said I identified myself before. I'm Everett Griffiths. I own the property that is closest to the tower that's going to be built. These brochures that I have here from Defender are fact. There's a lady right here that has suffered 51 strokes from the radiation that these towers emit. And this is a serious thing. I don't know why I don't see other neighbors from my neighborhood here tonight joining us against this. And cell phones can operate fine without a tower of this capacity in our neighborhood. Thank you.
Is anyone else here to speak on this project? So, do we have a motion to close the public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions to ask.
Are you all right with the public hearing getting closed and then you can ask the questions?
Sure, that's fine. All
right. So a motion made by Councilman Foley, seconded by Councilman Ricks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, so the public hearing is now closed. So Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Whichever gentleman from the tower would like to answer the question, the question or questions that I have are related to the health issues that the gentleman prior to you talked about. So what say you on that?
Well, I would direct the gentleman to the FCC website. I do have materials here I could share with him from that website, where they provide information to the public on health concerns, not just from the towers, but from the users of the handheld devices. But the FCC has determined that so long as these companies are operating within their licensed frequency bands and their power limitations and their number of channels, that there is no adverse health effect to the public. And that's an FCC, how should I say this, strictly controlled issue. And I can think of no instance where anyone has gone to the FCC and said, I'm concerned that, you know, this cell carriers operating at a higher power wattage than they should be. But the FCC would be the course for somebody to seek out. And that would be the only way for anyone to pursue any such concern. But the Telecom Act from 1996 has indicated that, you know, health concerns are something that, I think you've heard this before, Counselor, not to enter into the state and local government decision-making process.
So you say that there's FCC requirements and someone else for power or whatever the terminology is. So how often do these towers get inspected to make sure that those transmissions, if you will, are remaining at the levels that they're supposed to?
They don't. The FCC issues our licenses, and we operate within those licenses. We're not permitted to violate it. There's no reason why we would. We have a certain power level where allowed to operate at with the various frequencies, and that's how we operate. And we could submit the licenses from the FCC website, which contain that information, if you'd like, for the record.
Okay. The other question I have is for Director Kravitz. Director, Ms. Komar had asked about trees, and you had talked about trees being red tagged or something of that nature there. That's required in what we're talking about here?
No, but that would be an appropriate ask to do that. Yeah.
So when you say an appropriate ask, as an amendment to this?
Yeah, you could do it that way as a condition that the pre-construction meeting, all the trees are marked that are going to come down. And having someone from the land trust probably would be a good person there.
Okay, you have no objections to that?
No. Jane, the chairwoman's great. Okay. She's great. She'd be good to work with the applicant.
So, through the chair to the solicitor, could you give me the language for an amendment for what Mr. Kravitz has just alluded to?
I'm going to need a second, but you can continue any conversation and hopefully we can get that to you quickly.
You can work on that? Okay. And that's all. I'll rely my closing comments for a bit after.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, President. What I hope is a brief question to the applicants. So I'm looking at the website of the American Cancer Society, and it's my understanding that mobile phone and internet signals, the electromagnetic wavelength is of a lower frequency than the visible light spectrum and is considered non-ionizing radiation, correct?
We're going to ask our RF engineer, Martin Lavin, to come to the microphone and answer that.
Thank you.
Martin Lavin, senior RF engineer, C-Squared Systems. Sorry, Martin Lavin, Senior RF Engineer, Z-Squared Systems.
Thank you. My question was, the types of signals that would be used by this this tower are of a lower frequency than the visible light spectrum and considered to be non-iodizing, correct?
Yes, these are much, much lower than, visible light and are non-ionizing.
And if this tower were to be instead sending out the types of wavelengths that would be iodizing radiation, those aren't the types of wavelengths that would be useful at all for cell phones or internet, right?
Those are not used for communication, though.
Right. That's what I thought. So I suppose, if I may, President, just have a brief comment. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not ruling out any possibility that there might be some people out there who might have an adverse health effect as a result of a cell phone tower. I cannot rule that out with certainty because I don't have that expertise. And there are rare conditions out there. I've heard about many different rare conditions where things that are not at all harmful to the average person might be harmful to some particular people. But I suppose that, and I don't mean to be cavalier at all about this, I don't mean to belittle any condition, but I would suggest that if someone is experiencing adverse health effects due to being too close to a cell phone tower, then one has to make a decision as to where they want to live. And it might not be the best idea to live in a city. As it is, there are many cell phone towers already in Warwick. That's all my comments. Thank you.
Any other members of the council who haven't spoken yet wish to speak? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. One question to the tower folks. Is this going to be a 5G service or 4G?
Martin Levin, Senior RF Engineer, C-Squared Systems again. It would be supporting 4G and 5G, yes.
It would be what, please?
Supporting 4G and 5G.
Four and five?
Four and five,
okay.
Yes.
So, are you open for discussion now, Mr. President, or should we wait for the amendment, or I'm ready to give you my spiel on it.
Could I make one couple of questions? Councilman Lattiser, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Councilman Nadler.
Just a couple of questions relative to your explanation that towers are never inspected, like ever, if you could come forward. Whomever is appropriate to answer that question. The question was posed when towers are inspected. The answer was never. That's a pretty definitive answer. So can we maybe unpack that a little bit, that we put these up and we...
Yeah, so if there were a concern that...
Please speak into the mic.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. So is this for structural purposes, if you're referring to that as well, to the safety of the tower?
I was more referring to your license to operate within a certain power scope.
That's right.
We're just assuming that that's going to operate flawlessly in perpetuity. No one ever double checks to make sure that the infrastructure within that cell tower is operating correctly, that it doesn't go off kilter and start drawing more power, start drawing less. You operate then outside the bounds of your licensure. That's never inspected.
Only if there were a determined, typically, concern over interference by the users of the cell tower whose frequency bands are very close to each other, or in instances where the cellular antennas are, say, on a building, and they're actually, to some degree, on the roof of that building on the same horizontal plane and pointing at each other. If the carriers can't work that out amongst themselves, they would bring in the FCC for that purpose. But for RF emissions purposes, I'm not aware of a procedure where the FCC does not require the carriers to prove that they're meeting the limitations of their license. They've got a license. They have to operate at that power level. There's no reason for them to go over it. There's no benefit to that.
Not to say that any party would be culpable in doing that intentionally, but equipment malfunctions, it just befuddles me that there's no routine check yearly, biannually.
That equipment is highly monitored. Their network operations center. But yes, they do have technicians go out.
That's what I'm referring to.
Technicians do visit the sites once or twice a year. And there are annual inspections by the carriers, of course. Okay. I thought you meant by FCC personnel.
No, not by the FCC.
Oh, I see. Of course. Yes.
The never language was a little off-putting.
My misunderstanding.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
So, Council Solicitor.
Thank you, Mr. President. After conferring with the city planner, the clarification that an amendment that Councilman Lattiser may be seeking to offer would read the following. We would be adding a condition of approval that would be new language inserted as number 5, following line 39. The language would be: on the condition that any trees to be removed shall be marked prior to and discussed at a pre-construction meeting at which a land trust member shall be invited to attend and participate. To the applicants, do you have thoughts on that language?
We would have no opposition to that, Solicitor.
Thank you. Members of the council.
Council. Any issues with that language? So is there a motion pending?
I make a motion for the amendment as described by the city solicitor.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Muto. Any further discussion on the motion? Clerk will call the roll on the proposed amendment.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
So this now stands before us as amended. Are there any further questions or comments by Councilman Lattiser?
Just some comments, Mr. President. So this is an area that obviously it's my ward, and it's in close proximity to where I live. And I can share with you, for the 20 years that I've lived in that area, there have been consistent, what I call dead zones on Warwick Neck Avenue. There's at least three. There's at least three on West Shore Road heading from Warwick Neck Avenue heading north. And it's in that entire circumference of areas. It is a habitual complaint that I get quite often about the lack of cell service in that area. In addition to that, the Warwick Fire Chief has also expressed that it would be a significant benefit to them with communication lapses or gaps, whatever the fancy technology terms are, if this tower were erected and Verizon had that communication on there. I spent a fair amount of time speaking with Director Kravitz on this and others, and I'm very comfortable with the rental fee that's going to be paid for about 3,600 square feet of space land. That's in the amount of $2,000 a year, and every year that increases by 2%. The first lease is a 5-year lease renewable.
on five. That is a very fair number for 0.08 acres of land when in the city of Warwick, an acre of land runs about $100,000. This is also in the area that is used by DPW. They use that for the compost area, et cetera, et cetera. The points about the visibility, I think, are really important because unless you're up 100 feet or you're standing back miles, you're probably not even going to see this tower. So it's not going to be a visual nuisance to the neighbors that are living in close proximity. So I would respectfully request favorable action on this, and I will move favorable action as amended.
Is there a second? Second by Councilman Ricks, Councilman Foley, Councilman Napa. Are there any questions or comments on this?
Actually, just a clarification. Did you say it's $2,000 a year?
A month. Sorry.
A month. Okay.
If I said a year,
I was sorry. Like,
$2,000 per month.
I was about to outbid Verizon on this one.
You can still try. I'm taking offers.
Yeah. Clerk will call the roll. Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rich?
Yes.
9 yes, first pass.
Thank you for that clarification, Councilman.
All right, this stands. First passage approved as amended. Thank you. Next, we have PCO 2-25, an ordinance amending Appendix A, zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick to expand the geographical area in which retail sales of marijuana and related products can occur. Thousand Lakes LLC, petitioner 319 Bald Hill Road, assessors plat 273, lot 481. Same procedure as last time. First, we'll hear from the applicant, and then we'll take questions from the council. Then we'll hear from supporters of the project. We'll hear from those against the project. We'll hear from everyone else, and we'll seek to close the public meeting, and then the council will discuss the matter further. So, City Ward?
This one's pretty simple. I can just throw it right to the applicant.
All right, applicant.
Thank you, staff. Thank you, Council President and members of the Honorable Council. Attorney Joseph Brennan on behalf of the applicant, Thousand Lakes. So what you have before you, I'll kind of go through three things. First is what exists today. So already in the ordinance for the City of Warwick, the use code 511 is for retail sales of marijuana and marijuana-related products. There's a footnote that allows in a general business zone for this use. That footnote states that it's only allowed within selected areas of a general business zone district along Route 2 between and including the intersections of Route 113. That's where the Wendy's is, the old Dunkin' Donuts, along Bald Hill, and then going all the way down Bald Hill to Cohesit Road, where currently there is a marijuana facility at that location. So what we're looking for, we're looking to take it from Route 113, where the Wendy's is, and just extend it north about 3/4 of a mile to the West Natick Road intersection, where the new Raising Cane's is going. And
sorry, Attorney Brennan, I got to interrupt you, and it's my fault, not yours. This was moved by the committee for public comment. Do we have a motion to open public comment?
If it may please the president, move open public comment.
Motion made by Councilman Ricks, seconded by Councilman Foley. All in favor?
Aye.
All against? Any objection or abstentions? And any objection to including the remarks made thus far as part of the record?
So moved.
All right. So carry on. My apologies again.
Thank you, Council President. No problem. I appreciate the formalities. So what we're looking to do is extend it that 3/4 of a mile to the north to that intersection at West Natick Road, up and including that. So now the third and last thing, the reason why we're doing this. So through the state legislature, when the City of Warwick developed this and talking with the planning department, they didn't think that it would just be one marijuana facility that could go there. They anticipated a few, I don't know the exact number, I won't quote them on that. But through state law, what came down after that, which the city did not know when they developed this ordinance here, this footnote, was that you can't have more than one marijuana facility within a mile of each other. So you have to go from Cohasset and you lose a full mile. And then additionally, you can't have a marijuana facility within 1,000 feet of a school. Tollgate High School is right there, which takes away, and their property is very large. It's larger than you think when you look at it on a map. And so then you lose a lot of property there. And then the final reason is Bald Hill Road has a lot of retail establishments. And I do a lot of leases for people. And in those leases with those big retail establishments, there's usually footnotes on the back that have restricted uses because certain large big box tenants won't come into that retail center if certain uses are there. That ranges from adult stores to marijuana and so on. So the reason why we're asking for this change is because we need that will allow us an ability for at that intersection, the applicant has a property under contract to hopefully purchase, in which case he would be able to develop a retail marijuana sales at that location. Of course, that's always pending state licenses, because when you do apply for them, it's no guarantee from the state. You have to apply, and then it's a lottery system. So even if the council were to approve this tonight, it doesn't mean one is definitively going in. It means you're just giving one a gambling chance at a lottery to come in. So with that said, that concludes my presentation on it. If the council has any questions for me that I can answer, I also do have the applicant here, but that really is the whole thing. It's just that simple word change in that footnote to move the street up about 3/4 of a mile. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the council? All right. Anyone here to speak in support of the proposal? Anyone here to speak in support of the proposal? Anyone here to speak in support of the proposal? Anyone here to speak against the proposal? Anyone here to speak against the proposal?
Ian Sheridan. In general, I object to any more marijuana shops in the city. And we do have, as the gentleman mentioned, we do have a very busy shop at the intersection in front of Lowe's, and you're only another mile away. I mean, has the council given consideration to how many we need in the city? I just don't think on Post Road or on Bolton Road we need another, on Route 2, we need another shop. Thank you.
Is anyone else here to speak in opposition to the project? Anyone else here to speak in opposition to the project? Is anyone else here to speak in opposition to the project? Is anyone else here to just speak on the project in general? Anyone else here to speak on the project? Is anyone else here to speak on the project? Seeing none, do we have a motion to close the public hearing? Motion made by Councilman Gebhardt. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? The public hearing is now closed. Any further questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Without being presumptuous on behalf of the councilman of Ward 8, I believe that we previously had a public meeting in which it was discussed that of the various areas of the city, it seems most appropriate for this type of retail operation to be located in the area of Bald Hill Road. I would still agree with that assessment. I think that this is very much consistent with that idea. And I would push back a little bit on any suggestion that it be a wise idea to spread these marijuana retail facilities throughout the city, as opposed to having them in a particular designated area that is more suited for these types of retail sales. Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to speak on this? All right, seeing none, is there a motion in favor of this? Councilman Gebhardt, any seconds? Councilman Foley? There's a motion made and seconded. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser. Mr. Muto.
No.
Mr. Napa.
Yes.
Mr. Riggs.
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no, first passage.
Thank you.
Next, we have PCO 3-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, Sprague Covington LLC, applicant 112 Old Warwick Avenue, assessor's plat 351, lot 234. This was heard in public properties and moved for public hearing. Do we have a motion?
Committee recommends opening public hearing, and I would defer to the councilman of Ward 5 as to the motion.
Make a motion to open a public hearing.
Is there a second? Second by Councilman Ricks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? So the public hearing stands open. Director Kravitz.